Well, this is my first opportunity to wish y'all a very Merry Christmas, and it is such a beautiful, balmy night. I guess it must have been something like this in Bethlehem, possibly. But you know, it does snow in Israel, just to let you know. It is in the mountain regions, but I must say that hearing Gray and Bill playing tonight touches hearts, and it is absolutely beautiful. The carol of the bells and the striking of 11 was really a gift to us. Thank you. And the choir sounds magnificent. You may be small in number, but boy, you're taking it to the Lord. And we thank you for that. The words of today's gospel said, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.' Before the foundation of the world was laid, God planned that his Son would be the sacrifice to pay for the sins of all the people. The world needed a Savior, and God's only Son, Jesus, is that Savior. In the third chapter of Genesis, and all the way throughout the Old Testament, prophecy after prophecy proclaimed that the Messiah would come. He would be born and live among us as the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. Before the world could have Easter Sunday, there had to be a Christmas. The birth of God's Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. Mary and Joseph, they were chosen by God. Mary to be the mother of God's Son, and Joseph, he was commissioned by God to take care of both Mary and Jesus as Jesus' adopted father. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to meet him. What a guy he must have been to take this on so that Jesus could grow and be the man who would go to the cross for us. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see that film that was out a few years ago called The Nativity Story. And in it, they show a beautiful example of the cultural pressures of first century Israel, especially as rumor and gossip began to flow through the streets of this small town called Nazareth, because Mary was expecting a child even before she and Joseph were married. The evil King Herod enforced Caesar Augustus's decree that every family must return to their hometown for the census. So even though the baby was due at any time, Mary and Joseph had to make this journey all the way to Bethlehem from Nazareth. Now you need to know where these two cities are located. Nazareth is in the north of Israel, in the Galilee region, and Bethlehem is in the south, in Judea. And it's a trip of about 80 miles long. They had to walk with only the aid of one donkey. They made that journey with no comfortable accommodations. There were no clean sheets to sleep between, no TV sets to entertain them, not even an iPhone. How did they do it? Slowly they traveled, sleeping out underneath the stars. Now remember that once they arrived in Bethlehem, there's a complication in trying to find lodging. In the film, Bethlehem is depicted as a small town made of stone buildings and even some caves. As Mary's time to give birth approached, Joseph banged on door after door. Because of his tenacity and perhaps compassion of the person who owned the stable, they were offered to stay in a place where animals feed, and they found shelter for the night. There must have been quite a commotion in that small little town of Bethlehem. On the night Jesus was born, it was a private celebration at first, with just Mary and Joseph and a few of the animals. It's not a bad thing. They knew something that no one else knew. They knew that this baby was God's own son, and that his birth was a miracle. Soon the celebration got a little larger. You see, angels spoke to shepherds and announced that a Savior had been born, who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds came rushing to see this new baby. It's quite possible that even some of the people from the town might have been peeking through the little cracks in the walls to see what was going on. And then they may have joined in on the celebration. We'll never really know because it's not mentioned in the gospel account. When Micah, the Old Testament prophet, foretold the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, he emphasized the simplicity and lack of significance of this town to the entire world. Listen to these words from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Bethlehem. Actually, the Hebrew is Beit Lechem. It means the house of bread. Well, bread is one of life's most common and needed things. God wanted his son to be available to not just one town. He wanted it to be available to the whole world. And his birth was announced to shepherds, common people, common people. But he didn't announce it to King Herod. His cradle was a manger, an animal's feeding trough in the lowly stable. Imagine God's only son born among animals, humbling himself in such a way. I think God was telling us that there's no human, no matter how low, that he or she is outside of the reach of the love of God. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, to satisfy the spiritual hunger of all people. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." I think bread's a pretty good comparison to Jesus because he satisfies, gratifies, and strengthens us spiritually, just as bread does for us physically. Now, unfortunately, there are some who are not hungry for this bread. And you might even say they're eating at the wrong table. God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." Isaiah 55, verse 2. There are a lot of things that bring us temporary happiness, temporary fulfillment. But believe me, only Jesus Christ satisfies the eternal element of the human spirit, the inner being, the soul. There's a story in the Bible about a man who had a lot of things going for him, but he wasn't living up to his potential. That man's name was Saul, and he lacked self-confidence. He didn't understand that God had a plan for his life. When the prophet Samuel told Saul that he was God's choice to be the first king of Israel, he foretold several things that Saul would see in the near future so that Saul could be certain that this message truly came from God. One of them was of a man carrying 3 loaves of bread in 1 Samuel 10, verse 3. 3 loaves were way more than Samuel could eat in a meal. He'd have enough left over for some future meals. It's a beautiful image of the abundance of the work of Almighty God in the life of his servants, and it is the image of abundance of God's spiritual provision for his people. I want to suggest to you tonight that Jesus Christ is all that a person needs for spiritual satisfaction, for spiritual completeness. The fact that Jesus was born in the house of bread should give us confidence in the fact that God has chosen us to be his children. No matter how insignificant we may seem to ourselves or to the world around us. Believe me, this is huge. God loves us enough to walk in our shoes as a human being and to draw us to himself in spite of all our inadequacies. I have a question for you. What books of the Bible are about Jesus. Anybody?
All of them.
Jeanette got it because she was at the 5:30. All of them. All of the books. From the Old Testament, from Genesis on to Malachi, God points to people's need for a Savior. And you know what? He leaves the breadcrumbs for us along the way to alert us how to recognize him when he comes. Perfect example and an account in the Bible that I love to share with y'all. It's from Genesis 22, when Isaac is taken up to a mountain in the Moriah region on a mission that he does not know what's happening. And he asks his father, Abraham, "We have the wood for the sacrifice and we have the knife, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham's answer points right to Jesus when he says, "God himself will provide the lamb." God himself is the lamb. Every year, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, celebrate the time when they are saved by the blood of the lamb on the very first Passover, which is God's telling his people that they will one day be saved by the blood of his own lamb, Jesus Christ. In Exodus 16, the Israelites who were saved from bondage in Egypt were given bread from heaven. Every morning, they would receive manna, just enough for the day's portion. And it came from heaven. And one day, they would receive true bread from heaven in Jesus, the bread of life. Now, believe me, I could go on and on, so let me get right to the point. This is Christmas Eve, and we all have places to go and things to do. Presents to wrap, eggnog to drink. There are over 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God laid out the information pointing to the truth that we celebrate tonight, as declared in the first chapter of John. I want you to hear these words. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God himself took on flesh to save humanity from itself. Jesus Christ is the promise of God fulfilled. Fulfilled by God himself. Jesus was born in Bethlehem to teach us that every one of us has to make a choice. A choice for ourselves of him as Savior. It has to be your own personal choice. No one can make this choice for you. And God will never force himself upon you. You know, if one person eats a meal, it doesn't satisfy the person next to them. They may watch them eat and eat and eat, but they're not going to get full. The Apostle Paul reminds us, because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of that one loaf. 1 Corinthians 10:17. But one loaf of bread is Jesus Christ. He's the only bread that offers life. And the decision to receive him is an individual one. It's a personal one. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Tonight, we celebrate the birth of the baby, Jesus Christ, into the world, who is the promise of Almighty God. But we also celebrate and give thanks for the grown-up Jesus, who willingly went to the cross so that his sacrifice would be completing God's promise of our own salvation, and that his body and blood would be shed in our place so that we might live. Jesus Christ is indeed the bread of life, because of what he has done for each one of us. Baptized believers of Jesus will be coming forward in just a few moments to receive the consecrated bread and wine as the real presence of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion, a most precious gift that he has given to us. Let me, in closing, share with you one of the most precious Bible verses. It's from Revelation 3, verse 20. Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem so that he could come into our hearts and into our lives if we let him. He wants to feed us for all eternity, but we need to give him permission. Have you ever seen the picture of Jesus standing in a garden and there's a door and there's no handle or knob on the door? Because Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He will not force the door open. He could walk right through. But he's waiting for you to respond. We need to let him into our lives. So let me say this. If you've never opened the door of your heart to Jesus Christ, what better time than to start tonight when we remember his simple birth in a manger? Jesus Christ is standing at the door and knocking. Will you open that door to him tonight?